scheduled today. Obviously come off the back of a recess week. We've processed government responses to a couple of health select committee reports. One was the petition that was presented on electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, and another, a final response to the petition which dealt with grooming in care for mothers and babies. So both those responses will be tabled this week. Also agreed to regulations and the commencement order pursuant to the Limited Partnerships Act, which was passed recently. Made decisions about the implementation of the new organised crime agency, and Ken will be doing a media briefing on that in the fairly near future. We've agreed to the release of the refreshed, updated digital strategy. This is a draft. It will be up for consultation, and then we will move to finalise, having considered the feedback on that. And we have approved, for introduction, a bill which covers the policy issues announced by Trevor Mallard and Marion Street at Easter. That's dealing with rest and meal breaks, and also with breaks and facilities for nursing mothers who need to be able to breastfeed. Coming up in the House this week, we have a number of third readings of bills. The biosecurity amendment bill, which deals with the honey issue, or the issue that the honey issue exposed. We're going to the third reading of the securities local authority exemption amendment bill, very popular with local government. Committee stages of the Copyright, New Technologies and Performance Rights Amendment Bill, Judith Tizard's bill. Third readings of bills coming out of the Social Assistance Debt Prevention and Minimisation Amendment Bill, and the third reading of the Human Tissue Bill. Tomorrow, the new Labour List MP, Sir William Seo, will give his maiden speech at 5.30, having been sworn in at 2 o'clock. And Wednesday is Members' Day, and it's expected that the Waitakere Rangers Bill should pass its third reading after protracted consideration by Parliament and its committees, should pass this Wednesday. Otherwise, coming up this week, obviously I'm away on a flight tonight to Europe and then on to China. This has been extensively canvassed in interviews and press statements in the last 36 hours or so. Expect sometime later today ACC to be posting on its website a report it commissioned around accident compensation issues, which I understand, but I haven't read the very thick volume, is very supportive of the current approach to funding and organising accident compensation. Tuesday, it brings the 1st of April, of course, and for many changes which have already been quite extensively reported. I've prepared a summary statement for issuing today around a number of the things which happen tomorrow. It may seem routine to be making adjustments to superannuation, to benefit levels, to student allowances, but I note in very recent days, the Leader of the Opposition has refused to confirm that annual updates of such allowances, super and benefits, are indeed something he automatically agrees with. There's considerable confusion left about that. It's the date tomorrow when the business tax rate formally drops to the 30% mark. It's the minimum wage lifted tomorrow. That's a very substantial lift over the last 8 years. When we came to government, minimum wage was $7 for adults, and adults were 20-plus year olds. It's now 12. 18 and 19-year-olds, like 16 and 17-year-olds, were on $4.20. They now go to $12 for 16 and 17s after a 200-hour or a three-month work requirement. So that's a very big increase. Key saver changes coming into effect tomorrow. Obviously the enhanced scheme with the employer contribution plus the offsetting employer tax credit, the R&D credits, the changes to the tax on charities, which enable the cap to be lifted on tax rebates on charitable donations. So there are a number of very useful things for many people happening tomorrow. Also, coming up this week, I understand that IRB and Treasury will be issuing a report of their review into how the mistake in the Crown accounts came to be made. The police will also be issuing their update on the crime statistics this week. Come Wednesday, I'll be at the service of Thanksgiving to Windsor for Sir Edmund Hillary. Move on Thursday to the meeting with the NATO leaders in Romania. Also this week, Winston Peters and Shane Jones will be the ministerial team going to Samoa for the annual ministerial talks, which were agreed to in 2002 for the first time, so annual high-level talks there. Expecting on Thursday Trevor Mallard to be releasing a discussion document around safety issues in mining operations. And there will also be a significant announcement this week about a major new land purchase to go into the conservation estate. Michael Cullen is progressing Central North Arnhem forestry issues, and we are hopeful of an announcement in that respect. Progress later in the week. And also towards the end of the week, Trevor Mallard will be releasing information about the carbon reduction plans of government departments. So we'll be busy working on. The other statement I have is to say that we've made arrangements for the dedication ceremony for the Kiwi soldier sculpture in the Anzac Bridge in Sydney. That ceremony will be on the morning of the 27th of April. I will be across board. There will be New Zealand veterans representatives and Defence Force personnel going across as well. This is a joint initiative of the New South Wales and New Zealand governments to fund the sculpture. And it seemed to us that it's always good to have the NZ and ANZAC, particularly on the ANZAC Bridge, so it's going to be an important occasion for New Zealand. Any questions?
More protest today in Dunedin and Wellington, I think other cities as well, about China's crackdown on Tibet, and many of those people don't want you to sign the free trade agreement. Have you been surprised by Kiwis coming out with their concerns about this?
I fully appreciate and share the concerns people have around human rights in China. I've expressed those concerns myself for many years, and been in a position to convey them to the highest levels of the Chinese government, and I expect them doing that again.
Prime Minister, are you confident that no Kiwis will lose their jobs because of their FTA?
I think we would be very foolish if we tried to run our economy as one that was in competition with China for low cost, low wage, high volume manufactured goods. That's no future for us. We want first world wages, not third world wages. What we're doing is changing our economy so we can prosper as a first world nation. And that doesn't mean competing with China and those sorts of areas.
Are we going to see significant inflows of Chinese labour under this agreement? I know there are niche areas.
I wouldn't call it significant.
Internationally, Angela Merkel's recently announced that she's not going to attend the Olympics either in relation to the events in Tibet. Is there some question perhaps about the timing of our signing of this trade agreement?
No.
So yet the Simons Prime Minister has said that this has a large remnants of a government that thinks it knows best because it's been so secretive. What do you say?
I think everyone here is pretty familiar with the course that's followed with the negotiation of free trade agreements and how they've progressed. You negotiate, you keep in touch with stakeholders and a wide range of stakeholders, including on the labour movement and in areas of the environment, as well as business, have been kept in touch with. You then move to a signing. At that point, the document is immediately made public, goes to the select committee for scrutiny. This, by the way, is something of relatively recent years. When I began in Parliament, no treaty came to Parliament for examination at all. So there is an examination process and submissions are called for. And then, following that, the government will introduce legislation. And of course, legislation has to have a majority to be passed. It is clear that there is majority support in our parliament for legislation around the free trade agreement with China because of the huge importance of it to our future.
So which parties have been briefed on it so far?
In terms of briefing on the FTA, well, I haven't personally conducted such briefings, but I am aware that Phil Goff has briefed Tim Grosser as the main opposition trade spokesperson. You'd have to go for him to just find out exactly who he's briefed.
Are you planning on attending the opening ceremony of the Games?
No, it's never been in my plans.
Who will go on your behalf or on New Zealand's behalf?
On New Zealand's behalf, we have been considering representation at some point during the Olympics by the Governor General and the Minister of Sport, but we haven't penciled anything down in concrete.
Can I go to Nick Wang from the Chinese, Capital Chinese News Agency, has today been denied a visa to travel to China with a trade delegation. Can you raise any concerns about that?
Well, I understand that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade gathered together the names of all journalists, the cameraman, who wished to be included in the media delegation from New Zealand. And Mr. Wang's name was forwarded with the names of all other journalists. At that point, the Chinese will make their own decisions about who they give visas to, just as we would if we were in the position of receiving such a list from another government.
There's nothing you can raise?
I don't believe so. I think we have seen the Ministry behave very properly in forwarding the names of all who wish to go, but at that point another government is making decisions in line with its immigration laws.
Does it concern you,
though? Well, we live in a country where we are very open to media. China isn't such a country.
Prime Minister, presumably some thought has been put into the question of whether or not it's appropriate for us to be signing it at this time. What's the advice that you've received? It would make no difference whether we signed or not, or if we not, we didn't sign, that would severely damage our interests, or what's the surrounding?
A lot of work over a number of years has gone into negotiating this huge free trade agreement, which is unquestionably, in my mind, of very significant benefit to New Zealand in terms of removing barriers to our exports into China. It's well known that Chinese exports come into New Zealand with very few barriers at all. The same is not true the other way around, and that's why it matters to us to negotiate an agreement like this. It's also important in giving New Zealand first mover advantage as a developed country trading into China, because we are the first to negotiate such a free trade agreement. And seen in the broader context, it's a strategic agreement. It is acknowledging on our part that China will be, in my lifetime, the world's biggest economy, that China is emerging as a superpower, and the more that superpower can be engaged with and drawn into an international rules-based environment, the better for all of us.
So in that case, you're saying that essentially New Zealand believes that it's in the interests of Tibet as well for New Zealand to be closely engaged to China?
We're saying that it's in the interests of New Zealand to have a strong overall bilateral relationship with China, and we need that relationship to be robust enough as it is for us to be able to raise issues which cause us concern as we do.
Have any communications been received from the Dalai Lama or from any of the Tibetan resistance peoples to the New Zealand government concerning the FTA?
I'm not sure that I've personally been made aware of any such representations, so I really couldn't comment.
So how do you with China-New Zealand relations?
Sorry, I've heard about five questions at once.
Sorry, will you be raising any of these issues when you're in China, or is that not the place?
Oh, of course, I've said that I will be raising the issue of Tibet and human rights. This is not the first time, it will be one of many times.
So how do you view the current China-New Zealand relations? And Taiwan held election 10 days ago. So what's your comment on the Taiwan elections and Taiwan's referendum for UN membership?
I really have no particular view of the Taiwan elections. New Zealand observes a one China policy, as do all countries which recognise the People's Republic of China.
And advertise?
I'll take one more particular point.
There's a
there's an explosion in Afghanistan and involved in some soldiers. Do you have any other information about that?
In essence, the press release which the New Zealand Defence Force did was the information which came to ministers, which I saw this morning. So obviously it's of concern when an improvised explosive device is triggered around our people, and it shows that while we have been operating in by and large a pretty benign environment in Barnum province, it's always been graded as having a medium level at risk, and this shows that such explosions can be targeted at us.
Why you don't listen to the public and the Kiwis' opinion about the sending of the FTU in China later, maybe in after the Olympic game?
We are on course to sign next Monday, the 7th of April. I'm sure I'll see some of you there.
Have you got any word on the Zimbabwe election?
Yeah. Well, they're still counting, and that's a worry. Last time, we know, there was outright fraud in the Zimbabwe elections. So the jury is out as to whether history repeats itself in that regard.
Do you think Mugabe would be brash enough to, I mean, it would be such an obviously rigged election from what you're saying. Do you think he could hold on?
Well, that very much depends on whether other power structures support him, like the military and forces of law and order there. But the reports I see of Zimbabwe are so concerning. When you see inflation reported as being 100,000%, this is hyperinflation of a kind we just simply can't contemplate. So Zimbabwe is on its knees. Zimbabwe needs a very, very big program of reform and change. And the question is whether that will come quickly or whether it's delayed.
Are those concerns hiking when there are reports of riot police on the streets of Mara at the moment?
Well, it's an atmosphere in which it's very difficult, obviously, for people to express their views. Very difficult. So, as I say, the jury's out as to whether history repeats itself along the lines of earlier, quote, elections, unquote.
What sort of job has Joel McKinnon done that he finishes it? He finishes his term as today, yesterday.
I think 31st of March is the last day for Don McKinnon at Marlborough House. And for the record, I think he's done a tremendous job. The Commonwealth is a very diverse organisation. It has a number of the world's regions represented. It has many of the world's microstates from the Caribbean and the Pacific. And my impression, having over my time as Prime Minister attended four Commonwealth summits and had a lot of interaction with Don, both in his visits to New Zealand and the Pacific Island Forum and when I've seen him in London, I felt that he's done a fantastic job of keeping the many disparate views within the Commonwealth together. People feel they're listened to, they feel they're valued. And I think his efforts to reach out and make sure the Commonwealth notes the Pacific's concerns and the Commonwealth's and the Caribbean's concerns have been particularly welcomed.